Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis Theoji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
Channels of my spirit. Your bellies shall flow rivers of living water. Just pray the Holy Ghost under your breath. For some of us, tonight is a night of refreshing. The spiritual well, you dug. The devil has brought trashes inside of it, but God is cleaning it up. Isaac dug a well, and the Philistines covered it. He dug again until he got to the point where he said, this is Rehoboth, for God has given me rest. God is giving you rest from struggles with your spiritual life. God is giving you rest. I see a well being cleared up, and God is saying that is the well that the devil is trying to shut down. Whatever trash that the devil is putting in that well, God is claimed by the Spirit right now. God is claimed by the Spirit right now. You will hear again. You will see again. You will discern again. You will have that intact fellowship with the Father again. Inside me, oh, it's inside me. I hear the roar of the Lion of Judah. It's inside me, oh, anemana kabaya barabara. It's inside me. I hear the voice. I hear the voice of the host of heaven.
Of the hosts of heaven approaching me, oh.
You are nearer than you thought.
Approaching.
You are nearer, you are closer than you thought. I hear the voice. Amen.
Approaching me, oh.
I hear the voice. Jehovah Sabaoth is here. I hear the voice.
The host of heaven approaching me, approaching me.
Feel the presence of God coming closer where you are. Just feel the presence. As the presence of God invades your privacy from inside out, there is the movement of the Holy Ghost in this place. And the assignment is to pick things out of people's bodies now. It's going to pick things. Five people under the sound of my voice. Five people under the sound of my voice. Inside, outside, online. The fire is coming closer. As the host approach you. Yes, that's it. That's it. Out now. Yes, 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 yes. Yes.
Approaching,
approaching.
Pick
out that addiction. Pick it out. Pick out that thing. Pick out that thing. Pick out that habit that slows your progress. Pick it out now, Holy Ghost. Pick it out.
Approaching.
Thank you, Holy Ghost. Pick it out.
Approaching.
Every weight is lifted now. In the name of Jesus. Weights of addiction. Weights of struggles. Weights that will not allow you to raise your head. The Holy Ghost is taking them now. 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 In the name of Jesus. Yes. Yes. Matchless love and beauty, endless one. Nothing in this world can satisfy. Jesus, you are the source that won't run dry. So who is like you, Lord, in all the earth? And beauty endless one. Nothing in this world can satisfy. Jesus, you are the source that won't run dry. Your praise. Your presence is heaven to me. Vessels fit for the master's use. I established last week that God is looking out for vessels that he would use. And the Bible says, in a great house, they are not just vessels of silver and of gold. He said, they are vessels of all kinds. Some are vessels dedicated unto honor. He said, some are vessels unto dishonor. But if a man purge himself, he said, you shall be a vessel unto honor, set apart for the master's use. Some of you have been set apart, but you have been distracted. But God is bringing you to the place of alignment. You are set apart, but distractions. God is bringing you to the place of alignment. God is calling you back to focus. God is calling you back to the place of your divine ordination. And I hear his voice saying, arise, shine, for your light has come. God wants to take you through a season of processing. God wants to take you through a season of preparation. You need to open up and say, God, here I am. Here I am. Enough of the struggles. Here I am. Enough of the struggles. Here I am. Take over, Jesus, take over. Take over, Spirit, take over. I cannot know you as you unless you take over. I cannot see you as you unless you take over. Take over, Jesus, take over. Take over, Spirit, take over. I want to see you as you. Oh, Spirit, take over. I want to know you as you. Spirit, take over. When you come to the place where you yield to God, it will be evident. It will not be difficult for the people around you to see that something has happened to you. Nobody enters fire and comes out the same way. How come you say you are baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire, and it is not clear? If you ever enter fire, we will know that you have entered. If you ever come in contact with fire, we will know that you have come in contact with fire. He touched me, and he touched me. When the touch of heaven's fire is there, and oh, what joy that fills my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me. The touch of the Holy Spirit will distinguish you. The touch of the Father will set you apart. God is still in the business of looking for vessels. And that's why the apostle said in Timothy, where we read, he said, if a man purge himself, in other words, you have a part to play. In other words, you need to be able to say, God, I am available. Empty me of all these things that has filled up the whole space that you cannot penetrate my own space. God wants to penetrate your space, but there are just so many things everywhere. You're thinking about the future. You're thinking about this. You're thinking about the cares and the worries of life, and everything will not allow him. But you need to say, Holy Spirit, I hand it over to you. I hand everything over to you. I hand everything over to you. I open up myself to you. One of the things that I believe the Holy Spirit will do tonight is to baptize many of us here with hunger. Hunger. Where is your hunger? Are you really desperate? Are you really hungry? Are you desperate to know him? Are you desperate that I may know you and the power of your resurrection, the fellowship of your suffering? I want to come to the place where I can behold your glory and I will never be tired. I want to come to the place where praying will not be stress, where studying the word of God will not be a struggle. I want to come to the place where loving you will not be difficult. Jesus, hold me by the hand and take me on a journey. God is willing, but are you ready? Are you ready? You must make yourself available. You must show that you are open. Last week I laid the foundation and I told you, number one key to being fit for the master's use is to check your motive. Why? Many people have wrong motives for serving God. Many people have wrong reasons for doing the things that they do in the kingdom. Then God said, when Samuel wanted to anoint Eliab, God said, this is not the man. He said, you're looking at the outward appearance, but I'm looking at the heart. The Bible says that God looks at the motive. No wonder David said, try me, Lord, and know my heart. What is exactly in your heart? Are you serving God because of what you want him to do for you? Are you serving God because you have a need and you want him to meet that need? Or you're serving him because you know that he's all that you need?
You're all I want. You're all I ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near.
Many serve God for the things they want to get. Many are connected to God because they desire a healing. But God wants to give you more than a healing. God wants to give you more than a breakthrough. God wants to give you unlimited and unrestricted access so that you can relate with him, so that you can have fellowship, so that you can have union with him. He wants to bring you into the place of permanent and constant fellowship, so that more than serving him for what you can get, more than serving him for the things that he gives, you will serve him for who he is. Set your heart and ask yourself, why exactly am I serving God? Some of us are still serving God because your parents, they gave birth to you in church, and somehow you are just there. Some of us are serving God because it is just okay for everybody to do it. It's like the normal thing. And because you feel like those who are saying there is no God, something is wrong with them. So I think it's right with me just going to church. But more than going to church is to have a relationship with him.
The more I know you, is the more I want to know you, Jesus, more of you. The more I know you, is the more I want to know you, Jesus, more of you.
An experiential knowledge of God. It's more than knowing him by his names alone. Knowing him by his names, beautiful. Knowing him because somebody introduced him to you, wonderful. But there comes a time where he begins to woo you. You are pressed so hard. Your soul has longed after him. As the psalmist wrote in the book of Psalms, as the deer panted after the water brooks, so my soul longs after you. Now you are pursuing after your master, your Lord and Savior. And all of a sudden he has seen the desperation of your heart. Then now he is after you. He's looking at you and saying, who's this person? Songs of Solomon, he said, my heart goes after my love. My beloved, where art thou? In the night, he begins to seek everywhere around town, looking for my beloved. When you begin to pray, at night you wake up and you cannot sleep. Then you are wondering why. And God is saying, I am the one interested. I saw your heart. Now look at my own heart. I'm ready for you. You need to come to the point where God is the one wooing you. Now God is the one. You start by pursuing him. Then all of a sudden he turns. Then when he turns after you, you will know that when a man encounters God in that dimension, you would find yourself doing things effortlessly. Why? Because he will strengthen you. He will uphold you. He will help you to seek him. He will now help you. He will be in the place of prayer. When others are praying and they are struggling, he will keep your eyes awake. You will struggle to sleep. You will not find it. Why? He is now saying, this is my beloved. He will keep you just exactly where he wants you to be. And when he's done, he will lay you to rest. You wake up, and people who slept 8 hours cannot compare the fact that you slept 4 hours and you have better strength than themselves. Why? You have entered a dimension. It's no longer a struggle. It's no longer a struggle. Is anybody getting what I'm saying tonight? Are you here with me? So number one is your motive. Number two is your passion and your hunger for God. Matthew chapter 5 verse 6. The Bible says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, he said, for they shall be filled. In other words, it's a blessed thing to be hungry and thirsty for spiritual realities. It is a blessed thing to be hungry and thirsty for spiritual realities. Just look at the world we live in today and see how people are desperately pursuing so many things. Look at how people are desperately serving the devil, following him and giving their allegiance, their souls, their lives, their commitments. They are serving as instruments of unrighteousness and they are doing it passionately, effortlessly. And sometimes you begin to wonder, where are these people from? Why the devil has possessed their hearts? The devil has influenced their soul. The devil has called them to the place of his permanent recruitment. Except they are delivered by Jesus, they will remain slaves to him. But here you are, God is calling you and he's saying, I desire that you will have that kind of relationship with me that is more than what mouth can tell, more than what men can explain. Sometimes you are trying to explain your relationship with God with your colleagues, your friends, but you don't have words. You don't just have enough words. You just know that there is something. You just know that there is this connection. You just know that your heart, your soul, everything about you longs after him.
As the deep panted for the water, so my soul longing after thee. And you alone are my heart's desire, and I long
to worship you.
And as the deep panted for water, so my soul. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long
to worship you.
Singing you alone
are
my strength, my shield.
exactly is your Christianity costing you? Are you hungry? Are you desperate? Many have lost their hunger. They have lost their desperation. They are in the midst of activities, church activities. No hunger, no desire, no passion to follow Jesus. It's just ordinary. Like what every other person does. No way. You must come out of that level to the place where you can put yourself at the altar and say, God, whatever you desire to do with this life, whatever it is that pleases you, whatever it is you want to do, let the fire fall upon me and let me be the burnt offering. Let me be the living sacrifice. Jesus, I yield my soul to you.
Lord, I give you my life, I give you my soul, I live for you. Every breath that I take,
fasting becomes very easy. It will not be a struggle to serve him when you yield yourself. When you are passionate, you can do anything for love. When you are desperate, you can walk miles. You can go all the way. You can fast for days. Just to have that encounter.
Only you can satisfy me. Only you can satisfy my soul. Cannot satisfy. Anointing cannot satisfy my soul. Psalm 42 from verse 1. Psalm 42. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. Go ahead. My soul thirsts for God. In other words, like water poured out in a cup, my soul is longing to drink God. He's not saying my soul is thirsty for church. He's not saying my soul is thirsty for the activities. It's like I want to get God like a cup of water and drink God. My soul thirsts for you. Like you're saying, my soul thirsts for water. My soul thirsts for a drink. The psalmist is saying, my soul is hungry and you are the one I want to drink. You are my obsession. You are my heart desire. You are my obsession. You are my addiction, Lord. You are my addiction.
I am an akabaledesh. People who are addicts. I have had people bring people who are addicts to me and say, Pastor, what is it that you can do to this person? And sometimes I have to beg the parents or the people involved, you will have to be patient with this person. What this person is under, what controls this person and what this person is under the influence of will not allow the person go just like that. As soon as a person starts an addiction, the spirit of the addiction puts a hook around you. The spirit of the addiction holds you tight. To let go is difficult. So sometimes we have to go through a serious recovery process. But just one distraction in a week, just one person was able to get your attention of God, you were never addicted. If you are addicted, you will allow the spirit of the addiction to put a hook on you. And when people are saying no, you will say never. It will be so difficult to pull you out of the things of God. It will be so difficult to get your attention out of the things of God. Why? Because it has become an addiction. And when I see people who are addicted, one of the things I do is to help them understand that they need a total reset. Without a reset, you cannot help an addict. And that's what somebody says, that I am addicted to God and you can just stroll in and stroll out anyhow. No, you're not. When an addict enters a particular area, the substance of addiction is as if he smells it in the air. If it is a particular kind of drug or what you call it now, whatever to smoke, the person looks around. It's as if the spirit begins to tell the person, move left, move right. That is the bus stop. And when he gets there, he places a demand. They have it. It's the spirit of the addiction. I've met addicts as you are discussing with them. You say, guy, I don't have any money. But when they get to the place to service the addiction, if they don't have, other members of their group of addicts will supply. They don't ever lack. They can sell their shoes, sell their clothes, sell their phone to meet their addiction. And you say you love Jesus. What are you giving? What are you doing? I'm very busy. It's not been easy. No. You're not addicted yet. You're not addicted yet. When you're addicted, nobody will be able to pull you out. Marriage cannot pull you out. Children cannot pull you out. Relationship cannot pull you out. Business cannot pull you out. Your career cannot pull you out. It is an addiction. You carry the addiction into your career space. You carry the addiction into your business space. You carry the addiction into your office. You bring it into your marriage. Everyone looks at you and they say something is wrong with this person. Every time you meet an addict, you will always complain about the substance of the addiction. Why? Because it becomes uncontrollable. Sometimes they are not even aware that the person who is begging them to stop is watching. Shamelessly, they will go back to the substance of addiction and they will be hooked. And now you can hide your Jesus. You can keep him at the corner. You can keep your Jesus without talking about him. You can do your own Jesus without people around your class, your compound, your neighbors, your colleagues. They don't even know. And you say you are addicted and it's a lie. Every time an addict comes around who smokes something, when they come, you can smell, you can perceive it. If he's a drunk alcohol addict, you can sense that this person is drunk now. You can. You are. You can. I met a sex addict one time, and the girl says, even if the guy does not call me, I will go. I just need to satisfy this thing. I cannot help myself. And I said, what? She said, I cannot help myself. He doesn't need to call me. When the addiction calls me, I respond. Slaves to the addiction. And the last time you were singing, you said, Jesus, if you call me, I will answer. But where did you answer? The last time they called you, you said, I was busy. The last time they called you, you said, I don't know. Why is it that this Christianity thing is so serious? Why are you carrying it on your head? You joined those that were saying it. You forgot that if it's really an addiction, everybody will know. An alcohol addict cannot hide. The whole compound knows his problem. When he comes at night, everybody knows. A drug addict cannot hide. As soon as he starts, part of the signs, he will not dress well again. Very unkempt. Unkempt, rather. Before you know it, the addict, because you know, he begins to behave somehow. Before you know it, you see that he can starve himself for food, but he must get that substance of addiction. You don't know what they're talking about. And now you say you're addicted to Jesus. Where's the proof? Where's the proof of your addiction? What is the proof of your addiction? If you are brought before a law court and they convict you for becoming a Christian, what are the evidences and proofs that people will have to say that truly you are a Christian? If going to church is the only evidence, then you have not caught anything. No. There must be proofs. There must be proofs. There must be proofs. There must be proofs. And you don't have to be a pastor. There must be proofs of your addiction. I can tell you the proofs of every, almost any kind of addiction. I can tell you, if this person is addicted to drugs, see how they will be behaving. If a person is addicted to alcohol, this is how they behave. If a lady is addicted in a relationship and she's drunk and lost, I will tell you her behavior. The same thing with a guy. Now you are a Christian and we cannot predict. The substance of addiction has not soaked you well enough. You are not addicted. You need to look around and ask yourself questions. You need to look around and ask yourself questions. What's the proof of your addiction? How do we explain to people that you're addicted to Jesus? How do I explain? If they ask me, how do you know that? What will I tell them? Because the last time I checked, part of the proof of my addiction was that I could stand in buses and I would be preaching unashamedly. Like, I would wake up in the morning on my own, no microphone, and I'm on the street preaching Jesus already. Part of the proof of my addiction in the school, when I was on campus here, I would come out and I would enter classes and I would be preaching Christ to them. What's the problem? Who dares stop a man? I'm drunk with something. You don't have to like it. I pulled my guys and I'll be taking. I said, that's where we're going to now. Everybody follow me. See how I'm going to stop this class. And they'll be watching. And I will stop the whole class. Enter a class where they are waiting for GNS. Stop everybody. Preach Jesus. And I'll move on. You can practically explain that guy is not. If nobody has called you out of your mind in your walk with God, you have not started. Because all the apostles, they looked at them and they said, these guys are mad. The other time they entered the city, they said the men that turned the world upside down are around. What is the proof of your addiction? For you to be fit for the master's use, you must be hungry. You must be desperate. You must desire more. More. God, more. I want to spend more time with you. I want to build my relationship with you at a different level. Is anybody getting what I'm saying tonight? Please don't join the regular Christianity everywhere around town. People are just doing whatever they like. I can guarantee you, I can tell you, if I open the page of the scriptures, you will see what people are practicing today is not Christianity. They have added many things. It is not. Sir, it is not. The Bible says having a form of godliness, but they have denied the power thereof. Not to slight anybody, but wait. Not to say anything about it, but just wait. What we struggle in church to explain to teenagers run away from singing secular song is what we have to explain to a pastor's wife. Are you okay? Oh, pastor, why? No, I'm not talking about anybody, but it's just a shame to our calling. It's a shame to our profession as believers. That what I would tell somebody who is a nepios, a babe, I will have to explain it to an adult in the faith. And the whole world will come and throw arrows at you and say, you are taking it too serious. You are taking it too far. Is this? I'm just looking at them. And Jesus Christ said, if they persecute you, they will persecute me. Some of us must be loud to say it clearly the way it is. It might be painful, but we must be able to say that the Bible says, sinners are not standing in the congregation of the righteous. Don't judge anybody. No, everybody's character and personality has judged them already. I don't need to judge anybody. I don't need to. Their words, their confession, their profession, their action, their behaviors have judged them. Why do we pretend? Why do we hide? So that the world has become so churchy and the church has become so worldly. We can't even distinguish. And we are comfortable and everybody's saying, don't worry now, let it just be like that. No, 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 please, please, it doesn't matter who. We must be able to say, no, this thing is not right. Find a way with respect to say, this thing is not right. Find a way to say, no, this thing should not be done. For whatever reason. No matter the reason that is given. Sometimes the best thing to do is to come and apologize and say, I'm sorry, I have failed you, and it will not happen like that anymore. And the whole atmosphere will be calm. That's how it works. So many of us will find ourselves in spaces where we just do anything the way we like. I want to educate you again today. I want you to be aware. If Jesus were on the face of planet Earth, Jesus, the Son of the living God, would he act the way we act? Would he behave the way we behave? And the Bible says that he is our perfect example. He's our perfect example. He's our role model. And that is what you get when a lot of people who are supposed to be disciples are not willing to follow their disciples. They are not willing to follow their fathers and their mothers in the faith with all of their heart. They have formed a new clique of Christianity, something different from the original. Say that whatever pastor is preaching is pastor's own. Whatever pastor is saying is pastor's own. And you have so deviated from the person you are supposed to follow. But Paul told Timothy, he said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So you must be able to look and ask yourself questions. Am I really hungry for God? Listen, every expression you see outside is a deposit of what you have inside. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil person out of the evil treasure of their heart brings forth evil things. If you are still harboring that thought, if you are still hosting that behavior, if you are still hosting that attitude, you need to sincerely repent and say, Lord, I am sorry. Don't try to make a cover. Don't try to cover it. It makes no sense. It is better to acknowledge your wrong and say, God, I am sorry. And I will not be found here again. How come we come to church and we sing songs that we don't really believe? You say, take all of me, take all of me. But every time God comes to invade that your privacy, you say, no, please just take some and let me be. And the Holy Spirit is saying, the last time you were singing, I thought you were serious. And that's why every time we come to church and people are singing, sometimes the Holy Spirit has to search through hearts to know. 1,000 people can be singing, but the only voice they hear in heaven can be the voice of 5 people. Because the heart of man is desperately wicked. He said, who can know it? Don't ever allow the culture of the world to so enter into us that we fit in without thinking. Listen, we are supposed to be vessels for the master's use. I don't understand how we're thinking about these things. I don't know how you see Paul, how you see Peter, how you see James. You see them as superheroes. Listen, every one of us, we are called like that. All of us, no exemption. The difference is that some will stand on the pulpit and prepare others. And those who are prepared, they are not lesser in quality than those who are preparing them. The only difference is that these ones are privileged to stand to do that work. Is anybody getting what I'm saying tonight? Search your space. Go back and look at what you have accepted. Because it's possible that some of us are even pointing fingers at some people, but we are right where they are. In one other area of our lives, we might just be where they are. And that's why everybody has to come to that point where you yield totally and say, Lord, I repent. If there is any way I am denying Jesus unconsciously with my attitude, with my character, with the message I am passing, with the message that I am passing, and people are saying, Lord, I am sincerely sorry, so that I can be fit for the master's use. What's your Christianity costing you? Now listen. Since you got born again, let me ask a question. Since you got born again, what is the thing that you have left that is like, how do I explain it? What is that thing that you have left because of your faith? Because you found Jesus, you left certain things. And every time you remember what you left, sometimes you feel like crying. But you are excited deep within you that you could sacrifice that thing for the sake of Christ. If we put a list of the things that you have left, let's check what are the things you have left. Because many people have not left anything. But Jesus said, if any man will follow me, if any man will follow me, he will first deny himself. In other words, he has certain things that he's interested in, certain things you really love, certain things you cherish, certain things you desire. He said, you will first deny yourself. Then you will carry a burden. Many of us are not carrying anybody. You are not denying yourself of anything. The only thing that just changed was that you made a confession. Lord Jesus, I accept you. Goodbye. You go back home, the same person you used to be. No, you cannot continue like that. Time has come for you to reroute. Time has come for you to have a change of mind. You must be missing something. If you are truly born again, there must be something you have left in the world. And that's why the songwriter wrote the song. He said, goodbye world, I stay no longer with you. Goodbye pleasures of sin. I stay no longer with you. I made up my mind to go God's way for the rest of my life.
I made up my mind to go God's way for the rest of my life.
The decision to follow Jesus is a 360 degrees turn. You were going like this, then all of a sudden you heard the voice of Jesus, then you turned around. Then your friends are calling, then you are telling them, I'm not coming back. They are saying, this is what we used to do. Let's go back. You say, I'm not coming back. They say, we used to enjoy it. He said, it's no longer enjoyment to me. Paul said, the things that I count as gain, I now count them but dung. Why? He said, for the excellency of Christ, my Lord, I have found Jesus. Now everything makes no sense. Everything cannot satisfy me. Only Jesus has become the object of my satisfaction. What are you missing? What have you sacrificed for the sake of Christ? What have you sacrificed? If you are still where you used to be, if you still behave the way you behave, if you still act the way you act, if you still do the things you do, you have not made sacrifice. There's a difference between accepting Jesus and making him the Lord. As Lord, he will lead you. As Lord, you will tell him, Lord, I surrender. Everything that I have been holding on to, I let go. Today you are coming before the communion table. And Paul speaking about the communion. This is the communion of the blood of Jesus. The blood must remind you of the sacrifice. It must remind you of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Every time Jesus is wondering and asking, are these the people that I paid the price for? In fact, he asked before he left. He said, if the Son of Man comes to the face of the earth, will he find a single faith? And people will be asking and arguing many things. And he knows what he's saying. Oh, the Son of Man actually knows what he's saying. What he's saying, will I find people with such commitment? Will I find people who would so deny themselves? Do you know what the apostles did? They left their families. They left things that meant so much to them. And it was because of the teachings of Jesus. What did Jesus say? He said, if any man will follow me, he will not love his father the way he loves me. He will not love his sisters the way he loves me. He will not love his children the way he loves me. Today, where people are saying, why are you not in church? My children. What, my work. My business. My this. And Jesus said, you can never be my disciple. Never. In other words, many people are still churchgoers. They are not yet disciples. There is a price. There is a cost for discipleship. True disciples are followers. True disciples have left a lot of things. In fact, everything. And they are following Jesus. And when people look at them, they say, you are foolish. I say, no problem. The Bible says he uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. They say, don't you think that they've done something to you? All those churches, all those pastors. And you say, no. Beyond the churches and the pastors, I have encountered him myself. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lamb upon the throne. My eyes have seen the King, the Lamb upon the throne, who reigns forevermore. Isaiah said, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw a vision. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. I saw cherubims with six wings. I saw all of them. Coals of fire. I heard thunder. Loud shouts. Lightning everywhere. And he shouted, woe is me, for I am undone. A man of unclean lips. Every time you see the King, every time you see the King, he will bring you closer in sanctification. There are things you will let go because you are coming closer. There are things you will let go of because you are coming closer. The closer you come in walk with God, the many more things you would have to let go. If you have not let go of certain things, it's because you are still far. You are still far. Come closer. He said, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Touch not the unclean thing and I will receive you. I'll be a father to you. Look at the world where we live in and just see what's happening everywhere. Churches are no different from clubs. Many things are just wrong. And we can practically just wonder. And people are saying, that's the 21st century church. No. Jesus is coming for a church that is without spot or wrinkle. He has not changed his plan. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Traditions will change. Methods and patterns will change. But the word of God lives and abides forever. And no matter what we are changing and adjusting to, we must not shift the ancient landmark of consecration, holiness, and purity. We must not shift the ancient landmark of devoting our lives and giving ourselves to God. No matter the civilization, let all men be liars, but let God remain true. So make up your mind so that you don't come one day and people will just be surprised. They will be surprised on the day of judgment that they came in contact with many pastors that lied to them. And many people are lying so much everywhere, making it look so sweet and, you know, just conjoining many things. The Bible says in the last days, they will heap to themselves teachers. Heap to themselves because of their itching ears. They will heap to themselves teachers that will tell them the things they want to hear. And all they'll be saying is, ride on, pastor. No, there are sermons I will preach, you would have said, ride on. Why is everybody cold? No, there are sermons. I say, ride on, ride on. There are days to ride on. And there are days to give you the real things. So that you will not wake up and discover that what you have believed all your life is a lie. That has been my greatest concern. From the day I started my faith with God, my walk with God, I almost have to say it every time. That you will not wake up one day and realize that what you have found, the Christianity they gave you, was just trash. You didn't get the real thing. Why? Our works will be tested in fire. Our works will be tested. Paul said, let every man that is building, let him build with care. He said, for me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Every other person coming will build with different things. Other voices you hear everywhere. Somebody is building with something. But he said, listen, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure. And he has this seal. The Lord knoweth those who are his. And let everyone that names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. You will come before the communion cup today. And you want to come before that cup and say, Jesus, your life, your body is what I am taking. And I am taking this because I have made an oath, a vow, and a covenant that you are my Lord all the days of my life. I consecrate myself. I consecrate myself. I surrender all. And indeed, I surrender. When you say you surrender, let it be real. Don't you see people say, I surrender all. I surrender all. As they say they surrender, you still see that there are many things that they are still keeping. A lot of skeletons in their cupboards that they are not willing to let go. They are still saying, Jesus, you can have this one, but just give me this one. Can you do that song for me? Give me you, everything else. Can you do that song for me? Somebody with the mic, somebody who knows it, sing it loud and clear. Let me hear it very well.
Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you.
Just give me you like a drink. Let me drink and be satisfied. Let me drink and the things of the world will fade. Let me drink and despite the fact that I'm pursuing my business, I will not lose touch of God. Like a drink, just give me you.
Lord, give me you.
Let me be intoxicated all my life.
Lord,
let me not recover from pursuing and following you. Let me not recover from serving you. Let me not recover. Let everyone say whatever they like. They can mock me. They can say all manner of things. But I know what I have found. I have found the greatest treasure. And nothing can compare to what I have found. Hallelujah. 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 Prepare your hearts as we take the communion tonight. Listen, the blood of Jesus was shed on the cross of Calvary for you. And when he died, he did not die so that we will give him a part of our lives. Jesus is not here to have an affair with you. He wants the whole world to know that you are his love. And he wants you to show it to every single person coming around that you have found true love in him. He wants you to be able to tell your friends. He wants your colleagues to see it in the office. He wants your neighbors to be aware. He even wants your lecturers to know what you have found. He wants everybody, wherever, your family members, your children, your parents. So serious that everyone knows that nobody can take away this thing from him. Nobody can take away this thing from her. Instead of you taking away Jesus, I will run away from the house. I will abscond. I would rather sleep under the bridge than allow you mess up the Jesus, my faith, my commitment, and my diligence to him. I'll choose to stay under the bridge if that's the place to stay. The men who followed Jesus in the early days of their lives, they left all to follow him. What have you left? 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 Think about it. Since you got born, what exactly did you leave? Can you see your old life as a cloth, a rag that you have left? And you can confidently say, yes, I left it. Are you seeing your old life, your old behavior as a rag? And you are confidently said, I'm using this thing now to clean the whole floor. It's no longer part of my life. Why? I have found Jesus. Let Jesus be your greatest addiction. Everyone can say whatever they like, but one day they will look around and they will see what your life has become in him. Since I gave God my lifetime, he's been taking care of me. He has never, ever let me down. I have given God my lifetime. Since I gave God my life, he's been taking care of me. And he has never ever let me down.
I have given up my life.
All that I am and all that I will ever be. That's how we give. We don't give half, we give all. When he gave himself on the cross, he didn't give a part of himself. He gave all. He said, my Father, into your hand I commit my spirit. And when he was done, he said, it is what? Finished. I want you to pray wherever you are and say, God, I consecrate myself. I'm not just making mouth, Lord. I am serious about this. Again, I consecrate. Some of us will say, "I've done." Yes, you can reconsecrate over and over. Consecration is in. There are levels of consecration. There are levels. How many of you now can wake up and say, "Pastor, I am leaving everything from tomorrow to follow Jesus. If I walk, I walk for Jesus. If I eat, I eat for Jesus. If I drink, everything." There are levels. 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 Your levels. What have you left? Tomorrow you find yourself going back again. Why? Why? What are you looking for behind? Whoever puts his hand on the plow and turn back is not worthy of me. If you know what he has done, every time the devil puts your attention back, you will tell him never. Never. There's nothing behind. There's nothing good in your past. Move on with Jesus. Move on with Jesus. There's nothing good in that past. It only gets better for the saints. Melana makaba yande reba shoke pelaye. Talk to God where you are. Begin to pray and talk to the Holy Spirit. The communion, the blood of Jesus is right before you. The body of Jesus again. Begin to talk to God wherever you are as you eat. I remember the life. I remember the breath of Jesus. I remember his shout. He shouted, it is finished. He gave everything just for you. So I cherish the old rugged cross.
till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross, and exchange it someday for a crown.
Listen, there was a story of a missionary who went to preach in a particular place. And while the missionary had labored and labored and labored for the master, there are some other people who have followed them in that journey, and they labored with them. Many big groups have used, they've used this thing to act different kind of dramas. Labored with the missionaries. Then the people in the town called all those people, their brothers and sisters that followed the missionaries, and asked them, now that you have followed these missionaries, what are you sure? What is the assurance that what he's telling you is real? What is the assurance that this Jesus that he's preaching to you guys is real? Will you denounce it to us? Because now we will kill this man and kill all of you. Though you are brothers, we will kill you. And whilst they were there, waiting to destroy, kill the missionaries, whilst they were standing there waiting to kill them, some of them started denouncing. And one of the people there that had been contemplating in his heart, but he was part of those that they gave gun to also kill, he's been contemplating in his heart that this thing, should I not join? Should I not join? Then he saw one of them who said, this thing doesn't make any sense. And as he walked out, God opened his eyes. And he saw like a crown sitting upon the head of the missionary, coming upon the head of everyone whose heart is ready. And those who are not ready, no angel standing behind them. And he moved the man out of the way. And he stood there and he said, kill me. My eyes have seen what will happen to these people. Just kill me. You don't know the commitment. You don't know what it means to follow Jesus. You know why? We hear less of the messages. Most of the things we hear today, they are loud. Things that excite our flesh, our emotions. But they did not lift our spirit many times. And that's why we are no longer conscious of the things, the sacrifice of following Jesus. We are no longer conscious of what it takes, the benefits of following Jesus. Eternal life is the offer. And everyone who follows him has eternal life. Everyone who believes in Jesus has eternal life. And apart from those who have eternal life, there are many of us who will enjoy our crown of glory. There are many people who will receive crowns, stars. The reward will be different. Our reward can never be the same. As a body, Jesus Christ, God will honor the body, church. But as individuals, he will reward every man. He said every man according to how their works will be. So if there's anything you have taken seriously more than God, you better confess that thing and say no more. You can never take the place of God in my life. Nothing will take the place of God in my life. I will serve Jesus all the days of my life. I'll follow him. Can you just quietly pray and talk to God and say, Lord, I consecrate myself. Everything, as I take the blood, as I eat the flesh, as I take the blood, as I eat the flesh, as I take the blood, as I eat the flesh. Jesus Christ said, if any man takes my blood and eat my flesh, he has my life. We already have his life now, but this is a refreshing. This is a refreshing of the Holy Ghost. This is the refreshing of the communion of the Holy Ghost. Talk to God as you come before this communion table. Don't take it casually. Every time you take communion casually, you are not discerning the Lord's body. You discern the Lord's body when you say, I know what I am doing. I am partaking of the body of my master, the one who died and paid the price for me. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Lord, I bless this bread, your body, and the wine, your blood, that as everyone eats this wine, bread and drinks the wine, they eat and they drink the life of Jesus. I pray, oh God, that this bread and this wine will refresh, will strengthen, and will empower everyone. Thank you, everlasting Father. Wherever you are, before you stand, If you have not made your commitment to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, taking the communion makes no meaning to you. So you will start by dedicating your life to Jesus. You must come in to the fold to partake of his blood. So you want to make that decision for Jesus wherever you are right now. Quietly raise your hand where you're seated. Quietly raise your hand and I'm going to pray for you. Quietly and boldly, confidently, but quietly raise your hand as I pray for you. Say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, today I come to you just the way I am. I believe in my heart that you died for me. I confess today that you are my Lord and my Savior. Have mercy on me, Jesus. Forgive me of my sins. I receive eternal life into my spirit. And I declare now, I am born again. I am saved. I am sanctified. Jesus, I will serve you. Jesus, I will follow you. Jesus, I will love you. This is my commitment from henceforth and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. The ushers are going to give us direction. Let's ensure that we follow the directions inside, outside. Those of us online, I want to believe you have your bread and you have your wine and you're taking this communion with us right now. As we take this communion, sicknesses and diseases will drop. Spiritual lukewarmness. The Holy Ghost will energize you and strengthen you, empower you. Life will bubble up inside of you again. Rise up wherever you are, everyone. Rise up wherever you are, everyone. And just follow up the line the way it is coming. On a hill far away, to the north. Just go ahead and take the communion now. Where the dead rest unblessed, for the love of the sinners was slain. So I cherish the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last. All your accolades, all your awards, everything at the feet of the cross. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday. So I cherish, the old rugged cross. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus strengthens you. The blood of Jesus empowers you. The blood of Jesus energizes you. The blood of Jesus strengthens your inner man. On a hill far away, to the north of the cross, the emblem of sufferings and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dead rest unblessed, for the love of the sinners slain. So I cherish. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus energizes you. The blood of Jesus empowers you. The blood of Jesus activates all the realities of heaven. So I cherish, the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. Yes, I cling to the old rugged cross. Oh, so I cherish. I need thee. me with your presence. The fullness of the manifest presence. The fullness of that manifest presence. The fullness of that manifest presence. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Go ahead. Rebana bada 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 bada. Shamana kabara bada 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 bada. Rako sege dele bo shoke dele bada 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 bada. To know the realities of the cross, open my eyes to see it again. In case you have forgotten what the cross represents, say, Jesus, open my eyes to see your passion, open my eyes to see what happened there. Let me see your bleeding body, let me see your hands pierced, let me see your side pierced, so that the reality of Christianity will dawn afresh on me. Up your voice and say, thank you, Jesus. 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 Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be your holy name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this refreshing. We thank you for strength. Thank you for healing. Thank you for renewal. Thank you for empowerment. Blessed be your holy name, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. We have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. You sit up in heavenly places. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Please, I want to charge every one of us. Don't let this message or these messages be ordinary. Always remember all these teachings and ask yourself, Lord, what will you have me do? After you have heard this message, it is not the hearers that are blessed, but the doers of the word. And the Lord will strengthen us to be doers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of this life transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.